Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening to my Blog Talk Radio listeners. I hope that you had a wonderful day, and thank you for joining my sister, my friend, an internet broadcast show sponsored by Granny's Place. We want to thank you for listening today and let you know that this show is for all women from all walks of life, young women, old women, middle-aged women, sisters, daughters, cousins, educated, not educated, average, middle-aged, and upper class. We are Christian women that want to help you and be here for you. That's the reason why the show is called My Sister, My Friend. And we thank you tonight for joining us once again. We have our panel available to you tonight. We have Yvonne, who's Yvonne is available tonight to talk to us about Mary's Project. We have Minister Henderson, who's going to be talking about Ashes to Beauty. We have Carol Reed, and we have our president, Beverly Beasley. All of us are on the line tonight to discuss with you whatever you want to talk about tonight. Tonight we're having an open line, a roundtable discussion of some of the things that are on your mind. Or we're going to discuss some of the things that we've been talking about lately, dating. We're going to talk about women in the military. We're going to talk about just whatever's on your mind tonight. We ask that you call in tonight at 310-982-4126, 310-982-4126. 4126. We'd love to hear from you tonight. So to start us off, we're going to ask Yvonne what's on her mind tonight. Yvonne, tell us about it.
Well, good evening, ladies. Good evening. I'm so excited to just be on the line with all of you. Well, what's on my mind is still kind of a leftover from our dating show. One of the things that in a conversation I was having with a girlfriend of mine, we talked about how since the dating rules have changed, it's kind of easy to see how a lot of young women are getting pregnant and then having children. Because if the way the dating game is set up now, particularly with our younger women, they're not really leading the relationship. They're kind of letting the guy decide when the relationship is established. So some girls, in order to keep the guy, if they feel like, oh, it's not working out, you know, they'll get pregnant or bring a child into the relationship, because to them as women, it is a relationship, you know, even if they just have the title of girlfriend. Because now then they go from being someone's girlfriend to being someone's baby's mama, which is of more significance. Even, you know, regardless of how we may feel about it, it is a change, because now this guy is going to be in this girl's life at least for 18 years if he chooses to be involved with the kid. So it just really, it weighed heavy on my heart today, because just thinking about so many of the young women that I encounter, and also think about just the blessing for myself being a young mother. And, you know, just my thinking at the time, you know, when I got pregnant and when, you know, I was going through my stuff as a young mom. So it's just always amazing to me. So just understanding the dating game for today and seeing how the rules aren't as set, you know. As I said last week when we were talking, I'm an engineer, so I like to have things pretty much laid out and structured. And so it blew me away when the young lady shared that, you know, at some point in the relationship, it just changes from you know just some two people dating or seeing each other to now we're like in a relationship, and that a conversation may not take place, particularly for the younger, you know, for the younger generation, not necessarily those like 30 plus, I think usually some sort of conversation occurs. But for the younger people, you know, there's not a lot of communication going on. So I could see how my young ladies get caught out there and get caught up in the relationship.
Okay, Yvonne, what advice would you give to these young ladies as a head of Mary's Project? I'm sure that is a part of your curriculum or what you teach in the project. So why don't you expand on that a little bit about what you would tell them?
Well, to a lot of my young mothers, when we start, in essence, the mentoring process, as they're going through it, there's a lot of self-reflection on, because a lot of times that's what it comes down to. It comes down to that self-value. And depending on where the person is at, my advice would change a little bit, but I think the heart of the matter would be for her to try to find out who she is, either before trying to reconnect with the child's father or before entering into a new relationship, but just trying to define who she is and understand who she is and how she thinks and how she feels about herself. Because a lot of times when we go into relationships at any age, but particularly as a young person, sometimes we're looking for some sort of replacement, you know, whether it's the obvious father or sometimes it could be the mother, that maternal, you know, or sometimes we don't even know it, but, you know, we're really looking for that unconditional love, you know, that, you know, we can only get from God, but we don't know that at the time. That's not conscious. So sometimes, you know, it's difficult. But the advice that I would give to a young lady who was in the situation that I was talking about, you know, I would just say really to pull back, to take control of the relationship, not necessarily be in the passenger seat, but to be a part of the relationship, to communicate, to talk about what you want and not necessarily just what the guy wants.
Okay. Panel, does anybody have anything to add to that or take away? Or our callers, we have a couple of callers on the line. Do you have a comment or question about that information? Okay,
this is Beverly. I'm going to agree with Yvonne, what you talked about, the young women in relationships. I think from listening to them and watching some of the shows and listening to some of the young girls, it seems like some of them are looking for that dad that's not in the home, and so they want a relationship with someone. The others seem like I know I have a couple of nieces that have kind of jumped the, let's just put it this way. Before getting married, they created families and all those types of things, and they've kind of done things a lot of things backwards. And my biggest fear is that they won't ever get married. Not that every woman has to. I don't think it's good for too many girls out here to be unwed with three or four kids. I've got about three or four nieces that no matter what we told them and no matter what we showed them, they wanted to go do it that way. I've got one niece that's under 30 with four kids and another one that just turned 21 with two kids and one that's almost 30, and she's lost custody of her kid. And so I feel real bad when I see these young girls having these babies out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. They go on with the title of babies, with baby's daddy, and that's my baby's mama, and all these things as though these are my husband and my wife. And it's just so sad to see all these babies born out of wedlock without a father in the home. And they're not trying to develop relationships with these young boys or young men. They're just having unprotected sex, and there's no future for a lot of them. I know for a couple of my nieces that, I don't know, Lord may have something in plan, but it sure doesn't look very good right now. So I'm just concerned about the young girls going out here and having all these babies out of wedlock.
Okay, do you have some advice to give to them, or what would you say to them at this point, even to your nieces?
Well, I tried to talk to them, but their mother had a more influence on them than I did, and I didn't think she was one of the best models. But had we had an opportunity to do it over again, I would have encouraged them to get their education, because those three that I'm talking about don't have their education. They didn't finish high school, and they haven't done anything since. I would encourage them to get their high school and just encourage them to feel better about themselves. And I always try and tell them that they're loved and they're wanted, and to go after, have a zeal to go after things for themselves and to improve their life. And I still try and encourage them even now to go back to school, get your diploma, you know, let's try and get a better life. I don't want to see them grow up their whole lives on welfare and food stamps and running from man to man. That just doesn't look like the best type of life. So I'd encourage them to think more highly of themselves and try and do something with their lives. And but all I can do is encourage them. I can't force them to do it. So that's my biggest grief, is that some of the young ladies, they look at what they see on TV and with around them and everything, and when you tell them about what they should do in their life, they're more interested in impressing their friends and impressing these young men who go from girl to girl, so they don't really care about one way or another about them. So I just encourage them to just try and do better, try and get their education, and try and do better than their parents did.
Okay, thank you. I see we have
LaShondra,
three
can
callers
I
on the line. Hold on a minute, Yvonne. Three callers on the line that are you? Would you like to have a comment or ask a question to one of our panel members? The three callers that are on the line that's not on the panel.
Yes, I do have a question. And a concern with a statement that was made of younger individual not growing up in a household or searching for love. My take on that is that everyone in a instance is searching for something. It's not so much as not having a father or a mother in home, because you can be blessed to have both individuals in your life, whether in the same home or not. But individuals have this reality that is not really reality. There are individuals that look at the glitter and the glam of being with someone like your parents have been together. And there are also the cruel reality of searching for that someone, so you look to another individual to fulfill what you are perspective to wanting. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of psychological things that go on. Whether you're young or you're middle aged or even older, women do the same thing that you're stating young women do, and I'm just concerned with listening to the information. I don't want it to sound as if it's only bashing towards young women or the younger generation. I'm just asking, is there a program you're stating is a mentoring program that one of the ladies held on the panel, is there something that you're teaching them of self-worth versus of the do's and don'ts? You know, you can go through the do's and don'ts all day and you can lead by example, but if it's not instilled in you and it's not embedded in you and it's not planted deep inside, even though you're taught that information and you have those around you that are showing you what it should be, there's still a certain desire inside of a person to do something different.
Yvonne, I believe that question would be directed at you.
Yeah, no, definitely. First off, I just want to say, you know, there's no bashing here, you know, and I'm sorry if that's what you heard, because I started off by saying that my heart goes out because of that, because I can relate to that. And I will disagree with you that although all women, I think, in relationships search for some sort of completion, I think with younger women, the biggest challenge is that you're just not mature enough. You're not mature enough to process what's going on. And that's just the truth. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're absolutely right as far as you could have a mom and a dad in the home as a young person and still go out and make certain decisions that you're making. But in no way, shape, or form, if you heard bashing, I mean, more importantly than anything, this is what I want to put out there, in no way, shape, or form am I bashing anyone. I actually wanted to share and talk about, you know, just part of my experience being a young woman. And I remember being out there and thinking as I was young, you know, with this person that, oh, you know, I'm going to be with this person forever. You know, I love him. He loves me. You know, there's nothing, you know, nothing that's going to go wrong. Although we live in, you know, horrific circumstances. And as far as, like you talked about, as far as not dealing with reality, that's even more so when you're younger. When you talk about the psychological, just the psychology of a teenager, is you're not in reality like 90% of the time. So you're not in reality, and then you're into a relationship that's accelerating faster than you're able to wrap your mind around. But to get back to the latter point of your question as far as with these young women, when I work with the young women, like I said, there's a lot of self-reflection because the idea behind the Marriage Project, for anyone who's listening, is to help young mothers who are already parents to teach them basic parenting skills and to allow them to be better parents to their children and better whether they felt like their parents weren't good enough or just if they want to make sure that their child has a different outcome than they do in some way, shape, or form. And so one of the things that I gained from having a host of women around me and a supportive church was basic parenting skills, which a lot of my friends, unfortunately, who did end up in my situation, a lot of them were kicked out, they were put out on the street, and they had to, you know, they didn't forget about parenting, they had to learn how to just live now. And so this is where a lot of young women are. So one of the facets of the program is, like I talked about, self-reflection, and helping them to understand their self-worth and their self-respect through their eyes, not through my own eyes. So anyone who's listening, there's exercises that we do, there's journaling that we do positive reaffirmation of who we are as we're going through it, and then at the same time, the young ladies are taught how to manage that and how to do that while living life. It doesn't solve everything. It doesn't fix every young lady. But what it does is it gives her a good starting point so that she can stop and start to self-examine, because that's really what it is. A lot of times with a lot of these young women, you know, as you're going, and I will focus on young women. I'll continue saying young women because I don't believe that the maturity is there. And that's what I needed. And with the young women that I deal with and I talk to, that's what they need. They need that sense of self-direction, that someone to help them with self-guidance.
I'd like to jump in if I could, LaShondra.
I was going to get you. I was about to ask you. Come on.
I'd like to give my take on it. I'd like to agree with my sister Yvonne about the young women and you know, and she talks about their maturity level. But I'd also like to agree with the caller in that, you know, a lot of the problems that we as women face, you know, it runs the gamut from the young to the old. But I want to say that I think one thing that I think that should be mentioned is I think that sometimes we need to pay attention to the journey or the place in life where people are. I think that a lot of times where women end up having certain problems depends on, I think what sends some women in different directions is a particular experience that may have happened to them somewhere along the way. And I think, you know, I think that oftentimes determines the road they take. And I think sometimes, you know, before we can't always say, you know, that, oh, young women or older women or this woman or that woman is doing this and that. I think sometimes individually we have to stop and say, you know, I always, and I'm like this because I always stop and evaluate a person by, I don't know what this person has been through and where they've been and where they've come from. And what I do is when you sit down and talk to somebody, the reason why you are there in a certain place is because some significant thing happened in their life. There has been sexual abuse that's happened in a lot of young women's lives that the majority of them that I deal with, and I was a rape crisis advocate. These women, once something that traumatic happens in their lives, they go in a different direction. Just like the young lady said, you can have a mom and a dad in the household. But somewhere along the way, something traumatic happened to her, whether it was something mild as being bullied in school by mean girls, and you know they got the mean girl club going on these days, and or if there was sexual molestation in the home, or by a relative or by a friend, if there's a weight concern, image concern about their body weight or what they look like or their complexion, and we have those issues that we deal with, and again, those people who are close to you, the things that they deposited into that person, what significant thing did they say to that individual that sent them some place in an opposite direction than maybe that they were going. And so I think it's important to just say, to look at a lot of times when we, young women or even older women end up in certain places, if some significant situation or experience happened in their life that may have taken them there. And it's always good to kind of sit and talk to people and kind of see where they come. Once they're able to open up to you and then see what's your herstory, if you will, you know, what is her story? What about her happened? How did you get here? And where you are? You're right. When you're young, you know, as Dr. Phil likes to say, you don't know what you don't know. But at the same time, even with that, like the women on this panel, we are here, like Sister Javon said, to support our young women. And I think that is one of the things, y'all, that has really, I don't know, fallen by the wayside, where the older sisters are talking to the younger sisters, and then the younger sisters ain't necessarily trying to hear what the older sisters have to say either sometimes. Sometimes we're trying to talk to them, and they just think we're old school, and that's the way we did it way back when, so they ain't trying to hear all that. And you know, so we're almost reluctant to say something to young women about, ladies, don't use that type of vanity. Ladies, don't dress this way or that way. And, you know, you know what the truth is? That is their reality at that stage in life. That's their reality. The dresses, the tight clothes. And when we were young, we did some of the similar things. And that's why when I come to young women, I don't say nothing. Because I like it. But when we were young, we was, hey, you know, we had our little skirts to a certain degree. Because back then, you still couldn't do too much. But, you know, we tried to get closer to the edge as we possibly could. But I remember being in young women's council in church, and there were older women. We were a mixture. And it was me and my two girlfriends. We were 21, 22 years old, and then we had some of the older women in there. And we gleaned from that older women, the knowledge of the older women. And there was some in there that really didn't want to be bothered with us. They were like, if y'all don't get somewhere and sit down and stop all this skylocking. But see, we was really trying to, and we was in there giggling and everything, but then they got us together, and we fed off of one another. So it really helped out. So I just think that's one of the things we need to look at, just find out what a person's story is, find out how they got to the place they are, no matter what age they are. And maybe a lot of these young girls do lesbianism like it's nothing, like I'm biracial, I'm bisexual, and they jump they'll jump on that bandwagon in a heartbeat. I got a bunch of my girlfriends, they have daughters and nieces, and they're in like high school, and they'll pick up a girlfriend quick, and they'll pick up a boyfriend. I'm like, what is going on? What is this craziness? But that's what they
call it, experimenting. They want to see what it's like. I had a niece tell me that she said, oh, they're nice to me. They're fun to be with. I'm like, oh, okay. So I told her, I started to think about that. I told her, I said, well, if it's okay with you to experiment with that, then it must be okay for your son. And when I said this, she said, oh, no, I'm like, well, it's got to be okay with him if it's okay for you. So that kind of helped us. Not to interrupt you, Carol, but I do agree with you said when you were saying it, I thought about my niece, the one I mentioned with the four kids. And when you said that about things happening in their life, I remember that things changed in her life when her parents got divorced. And for her and her sister and her brother, their whole life just turned upside down when their parents got divorced. So you're right, a lot of times with some of them, it is something that's happened in their life that really sent, because those three kids were great kids, and they still are, but it did change their life a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need to ask a question to our Minister Henderson about, since she was a single parent raising her kids on that subject, what, Minister Henderson, do you feel that some of the comments that have been made, would you go ahead and explain to us what you're thinking about those comments that are being made?
The caller that called in, you know, that you spoke with, they gave her opinion in regards to the way Yvonne started off with the Mary Project. I can also, I also agree with what she was saying. You can be raised in a two-parent household, and things in life can change. I mean, my upbringing was I was brought up in a Christian home. I mean, we didn't hurt for anything, didn't want for anything. But there was one thing that was lacking, even though it was a Christian home. Old school men worked very hard for their families. But in taking us to church as a family and working hard, you dropped us through the crack of teaching us what to look for in a mate. Now, so I grew up thinking what I saw with my parents is what life was. I've never seen my parents argue. I've never seen my parents fight. My parents have been married 54 years this year, June 21st. I've never seen anything, thank you, baby. I've never seen something like that. I've never seen anything like that. But with that upbringing and me not knowing anything else, because, you know, when you're in the church, all your friends are from the church, all the husband and wives, you know, the families, you deal with the church and the visiting churches in which you all fellowship with. So I didn't know how other people were living behind closed doors. I thought everybody was living the way we live. So when I met my children's dad, my high school sweetheart at 15, had my oldest daughter at 18, we married at 19, and to that union two more daughters were given. So out of three daughters and then a husband who decided to start committing adultery on me at my age of 22 after the third baby, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know anybody divorced in our church to talk to. I mean, I was the first young adult person in our church to get married. So me going through what I was going through, nobody came along beside me to help me. Of course my parents did. They prayed. They assisted. They were there and so on and so forth. You know, that's when I, you know, screwed up my SMU full ride scholarship because I found out I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, Keshava, even though my parents begged me to go, I'll work with you, yada, yada, yada. And I know that they would, but this was my burden. This was a mess that I had created. And at that time in 79, I didn't know how to go to such a prestigious majority Caucasian school as African-American pregnant. Yeah. And that's just out of honesty. So I proceeded, got married, went ahead. But with the affairs, it caused my life to change. Mm-hmm. And I put up with it for like a couple of years. And then I had to realize I don't have to live like this. I do not have to live like this. So I filed for divorce, and I found myself a very young, 24 years old, divorced single-parent woman with an orphan baby, a toddler, and a young walker. But in the midst of all of that, so that was my first ash. You see what I'm saying? Because the world that I grew up in was not the world that was now being introduced to me. I didn't know who to call. I didn't have anybody to call, because nobody understood what I was going through. It was like a pain that was foreign to my church, of course foreign to my parents, but they were there, you know, in prayer, in the word, walking beside me. But, you know, like Yvonne said, even as a young adult woman, you're still immature in mind with making the decisions on what to do, because it wasn't my upbringing. You just thought, you know, all I knew was a good life, and I just thought that's what it was. So I wasn't prepared for the flip side of the coin. But I thank God for my relationship with God, because that's what got me through it. Oh, it put me into a downward spiral. I began to party, but some things I never did. I never ventured into drinking. I never ventured into drugs. I just always loved to dance. And so I would go to a club, and I would stay there till it closed. But my thing was I would not leave home with my girls up. I never went out with them awake. I made it a habit that when I would put them to bed, it would be me that they see. And when they got up in the morning, it would be me that they see. Mm-hmm. So they never saw me going out on a date nor coming home in the morning. And so I agree with that. So it's just, and it's as Ms. Carol just said, different things can happen in our life that puts us on a different path. I knew I was raised to be a good wife to a good man, but I didn't know how to pick that man, because if anybody's been raised in the church, what do you always hear? Make sure you marry a man in church, but it doesn't mean because he's in the building that he's in the Lord. So I learned all of that too. Mm-hmm. You know, he could be in the building, but he could also be that wolf in sheep clothing. I experienced that too. So the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of dynamics in life that can happen and put us on a different road. But I just thank God that even with all the bumps and the bruises and the mistakes and the learning and the unlearning and the wrong learning and wrong ways, you know, it brought me closer to God and it made me the woman of God that I am today. So I understand the ashes to the beauty, because he said he'll give me beauty for my ashes, which the Lord has done. So I can sympathize on both sides of this coin, because that was my life.
Ms. Henderson, did she say SMU?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you trailblazer, you know what? If it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't have got a chance to go and get my degree. So I want to say thank you for setting the tone. You were that woman. But see, they asked for you and you got a full ride. You see, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, it's because there was a young black woman like yourself that had it together and had all that they had. Offer that a school like that would seek you out and say, we'll pay for a full ride for you to go to school. Like, that's an amazing, I don't care, you may not have, but I'm just saying, just to get it like that, that's amazing. And that, and like you said, 79, that just what I would. That's incredible. That's why I said, you the trailblazer. You said, you opened doors for me, so I want to say thank you.
Bless you. Because I tell you, and you don't know how much I needed to hear that right now. Because I allowed the enemy to put me in bondage for 20 years. Plagued me, and it plagued me. But I took the plague and turned it into a positive. I began to declare and decree that my children would go to school for free. They would be high school graduates. They would be college graduates. And they would graduate from high school drug-free, alcohol-free, pregnant-free.
Yes.
And they would go to college. And I want you to know, even in the midst of your iniquities, see, our sins and sometimes our sins of the father, the iniquities fall to our children. But I want you to know, all three of my daughters graduated high school drug-free, alcohol-free, pregnant-free. Two of my daughters graduated college, and one more who got married, met her husband in college her senior year, got pregnant with her oldest daughter. She has one semester to go to get her bachelor's.
Amen.
And so I'm going to go ahead and put it out there with the deliverance. I want you all to be praying in radio land, local, national, and internationally, that Minister Henderson is back in college. I just started this fall.
Awesome. Bless the Lord. How many? Congratulations.
All right.
I have over 20-something certifications. You know, I have over 20-something certifications, but with that fear, I just kept feeling like I couldn't go back to get the bachelor's. But I want you to know, with God's deliverance, that he's succeeded in my life this year. Glory to God. This year,
amen.
I'm in school now.
Okay.
It can all change. It was just a role that was designed for me.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. So it's like you said a few minutes ago, Carol, her story. That's my story, because guess what? If it was not predestined for me, it could have went a total different way, because
right.
I tell Sister Chandra all the time, you know what? When she says what she says, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. I didn't think it. I knew I was.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you, God knew. Baby, it's no telling where I would be today had I gone on test and you just and my oldest daughter. I probably wouldn't even be in Texas.
Okay.
But God had another plan, even in the midst of the mess. So, yeah.
Amen.
All right, ladies. Let me ask a question to the panel then, and Minister Henderson, we do commend you on stepping out in faith and going through the process to get to the promise, because that's what that was. You had to go through the process to get to the promise. And he ain't through with you yet, but I'm not going to preach tonight, okay? That's what that is. But my question, how do you combat, each one of you, and I'm sure that each one of you has this problem, how do you combat the generational curses that have been placed in your life? We all are overcomers. My story is my mother was a certified alcoholic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That should have been my generational curse, but through God and through my grandmother, I chose not to go that route. What would you have to say to our listening audience about the generational curses that they can overcome them? Because really, to my perspective, it is a mind thing. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. So I want to ask there are two other callers that have joined us. If they would like to join in on the conversation and have a comment or a question, and I'd like to give the number 310-982-4126 to any of those that are listening out there tonight that would like to join in with us tonight and give a question or a comment. But I would like for you to elaborate on generational curses. I know we all may have had some. So I'll start with Beverly.
Oh, that's a heavy question. Well, my life is a little bit different from, I guess, from you guys. I'm an only child, so I didn't have any sisters and brothers. So I don't have those type of situations. The only thing that I probably could relate to is probably, that's a heavy question for me. Generational curses, I guess the only thing that I could relate to, again, I come back to my nieces and nephews. Just the only curse that I would like women to dispense with, I guess, is the attitude that you're having to have someone else give you self-worth. A lot of times we've met young women during the course of Granny's Place, and I've met a lot of young women in my lifetime. And the biggest thing that I have a fear of is women not giving themselves worth. A lot of times women look for a man or someone else to give them their self-worth, and they, to validate them, to make them seem like they're worthy. And the one thing I found out when I was a lot younger, in my 20s, was that you have to love yourself. You have to look in the mirror, and you have to find something good about yourself to say about yourself. And you have to have some goals and some dreams and some desires in your life that you'd like to achieve. It's like Sister Henderson was saying that that was what she wanted to do earlier, and it's a little few days past, but it's still time to do it, and it's a great opportunity because perhaps now she'll appreciate it a lot more than she might have earlier. But we all should have goals and aspirations that we'd like to achieve, And we don't look for others to validate us. We know that God loves us, that we're worth something, and we also have a purpose. And so my thing would be for women to start looking at yourselves and seeing what you're worth and not expect someone else to give you value, because you're worth something. God created you. He loves you. And you're all worthy of everything that he made promises for.
Okay, amen. Yvonne? Yvonne?
Well, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay. Sorry, ladies. First of all, I just wanted to say that I don't believe in generational curses. So for any of our listeners or anyone listening, and again, it's just because of, you know, my faith in God and understanding that that God has a plan for everyone. And that's pretty much how I approach, you know, in dealing with women and how I even look at my life. Now, but I do understand the idea behind generational curses as far as the things that may have plagued our family or decisions or sin that people have chosen, you know, throughout the course of time for different reasons. So I definitely understand that. And I think just with combating those things, or the common sins I would see in my family. Like, I have a lot of drinkers in my family, a lot of people, you know, who have chosen to do drugs or have chosen to, you know, live alternative lifestyles or have chosen to, you know, be in the street life or, you know, whatever that was around me. I guess what kept me going through the midst of all of that was, you know, I just tell you, God is good, because what I would have to say was that it was a combination of just a seed that was planted in me as a young kid from my father's side of the family. I have a lot of spiritual and religious people on that side of the family. And as a young kid, I just always had a very strong faith in God. I remember praying as young as four just for a lot of the depravity that I saw in my neighborhood growing up. And so I guess what's helped me is prayer and just being close to God, even so much so now as an older woman, you know, when I'm going through life or whatever I'm dealing with, it's always been important to me to be connected to God. And so I guess, you know, to answer your question, Lasandra, what helps you or what has helped me is prayer. And what I encourage all women that I deal with, but even particularly young women, and everyone that heard me talk about young women, just because God has really put it on my heart with young women again, and the numbers are just crazy. You know, just to throw this out there, we have, you know, women under the age of 19, over 780,000 births a year to women under the age of 19. That's an epidemic. The CDC calls it an epidemic in the United States. That's in the U.S. That's more than 24,000 birth a month. So that's why, you know, I'm passionate about it, because I know in the long run it's going to affect us. But I also know that, you know, these women have been blessed with a child, but it's also a heavy burden, especially, as I said, being someone who was there myself. So even with a lot of these young women, I encourage prayer. I encourage reflection. You know, I encourage, like I said, just stopping and thinking for a moment about our decisions. And you know, prayerfully, you know, God works through that. And eventually, you know, a young woman, as she continues her journey in becoming whole, then, you know, she starts to understand where maybe she could have, where she possibly misstepped, where maybe, you know, other people's sin have affected her, and how she decided to respond to those actions that were taken against her. So, but to answer your question, Lasandra, for me, it's always been prayer and just being close to God.
Okay. Thank you so much for that answer. I have some callers on the line. I have a caller with the last four digits, 8504, 1247, 8262, and 8112. I'm going to ask you, callers, do you have a question or a comment on anything that we've said tonight? Would you like to speak up and share your opinion or your comment with us?
Hello, ladies. This is Kashava, and I'm just going to listen. I'm enjoying it.
All right. Thank you so much, Kashava. I miss you.
I miss you.
I'm glad you could join us.
Thank you, Kashava.
Bye.
All
I'm
right.
Sorry, I got on late.
Okay. Anyone else? 1-247-8262-8112. Okay.
Hi. God bless you. Good evening, women of God. This is Lady M from Minneapolis. Tuning
hi.
In today.
Welcome.
And I am so excited. You are doing such a wonderful job of sharing testimonies to help women reach new levels and new dimensions in their lives. And I would just like to say that I really appreciate Lady Henderson for being my friend for years and for walking through a journey with me. And I would just like to encourage everyone who's listening to know that generational curses are in everybody's life at some point or another. But the most important thing the young lady said earlier was prayer. Prayer will change anything. And the most important thing for us as women is to continue to support one another. And this radio show has just blessed me the past 10 minutes. I have been listening because it is just what I needed to hear at this appointed time in my life. And I'm just so grateful that my dear friend is a part of what God is doing there in your area and taking it across internationally. So I just want to applaud you, bless you, encourage you, and let you know that I echo the young lady. Prayer is the key to break anything. Relationship with God, getting down to business and being real with him so that he can transform your life to be what God wants you to be. So God bless you, ladies, on this evening.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your comment and your kudos to us. God bless you for listening, and please don't stop. Please continue to join us every Monday night from 8 to 9 o'clock or 9:30 at 310-982-4126, and we appreciate you coming on and giving us your comment. And just continue to listen, because we were very encouraged by your words, by your wisdom, and thank God for you. Praise God for you tonight.
And God bless you as well.
Yes. Anyone
Hi.
Else?
Alicia.
Go ahead.
Pam? Oh, okay. I just want to say, just as you stated earlier, it's a mind thing, allowing the renewing of your mind. My testimony is I used to hear my aunt say when I was like 7th grade, oh, she's going to be just like her mama. She's going to have two babies before she graduates high school. She's probably not going to graduate high school. She's going to be working at McDonald's, not doing nothing with herself. And it kind of really ticked me off. And I was very upset and agitated because I felt like you're my aunt. You should be showing me love and teaching me what not to do, not talking about me and speaking stuff over me like that. And just out of spite, because I was so mad at what she said that she didn't know I overheard, I started applying myself in school. Therefore, I was on the A honor roll, and I was in sports, and I was in the band, and I was able to excel through life just because I had that hatred for what she said about me and spoke over me. So, you know, at that time, I believed in God. Jesus was my Savior, but I wasn't in the Word like I am now. So I didn't even know about the renewing of your mind. I just knew I changed my mind to not be what she said I was going to be.
Right, very good. Thank you. Isn't Tricia?
I love that. I love that.
All right. I love it. It's wonderful. Let me interject right here and tell you something that I've got. I'm looking at Titus 2. And
yes.
I grew up on this, and I'm sure that a lot of you ladies that are listening grew up with this. It said, Titus 2 and 4 says, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be sensible, chaste, domestic, kind, and submissive to their husbands, that the word of God may not be discredited.
I love that. I love the fact that we as older ladies or ladies in general can speak into the lives of our younger women. I love that Yvonne has the ministry that she has that will speak into the life of the young woman. We are here to show our younger women how to be sensible, how to be chaste, how to be domestic and kind, even for themselves and for their husbands when they get a husband. But we need to implement this into their lives before. We need to start at earlier ages. We need to catch them at 12 and 13 years old, because these young ladies today don't understand that that's what's going to take them through, that's going to help them have a happy marriage, that's going to help God be continually blessing them and with them if we teach them first. So I want to admonish all our listeners and all our older women to get you a younger lady. Take her under your wing. Be there for her. Teach her how to be domestic, how to be sensible, how to be chaste and kind and submissive. That word submissive is a hard thing that we're going to have to learn to do, period, women, especially the independent women, the women who have their own, the women who've been through relationships where that they had to be the man and the woman at the same time.
Well, yes.
Those who are divorced and are seeking to remarry, the women that have all walks of life. It's hard for a woman these days to be submissive because we're so used to doing things on our own. We're so used to taking care of the bills, the house, the children, just walking that walk. And submission is hard. I had to pray a whole lot of years, and I'm not gonna pretend like I'm always submissive, but I've learned through the years that in order for my marriage to work, I need to learn to be submissive, because I always wanted to do everything like I wanted to do it. It was no, you know, consideration of what my husband wanted or where he needed me to be. But right now, we have to learn to teach our young ladies to do that. If they're going to be married, if they're going to make their marriage work, we have to learn to be submissive and domestic. Because there are a lot of young ladies today that don't know how to clean, cook, talk to our friends, not alone a male, but take them under your wing, help them, teach them, right, Minister Henderson?
That's right. That's right. I'm training two right now. They're 3 and 8 years old.
Okay. If we get them young, we'll know how to keep them. Thank you for your patience and your call in tonight, lady. Is there anybody else out there that would like to have a comment or would like to call us at 310? Okay, missed that number. and comment on our topic tonight. We're just a free flowing tonight at 310-982-4126. All of you ladies out there that want to comment, give me a call. We want to hear from you. Do we have any other comments from any other of our listeners or our panelists or anyone?
Well, Chandra, if I can, I would just like to say that I know with one of the things, again, with Mary's Project, one of the things I talk about with the young women is seeking out older women for guidance. And that's hard when you talked about the fact that, you know, it's hard because sometimes you have older women, you know, who don't necessarily want to give or don't feel like they can't see beyond the mistake or beyond the facade that's there with the younger woman. And one of the things that I'd just like to encourage any of our listeners is that, as you know, as you go out and you, you know, try to either find someone to mentor, or you pray for God to put someone in your path, or there's a younger woman that, you know, just touches your heart and you think, man, you know, I could really teach her something, or I could see how great she could be. I would just say, as best as you can, please try not to be judgmental, because that's one of the things with younger women that a lot of times they'll say with the older women, particularly the older women in church. Oh, well, you know, when I go, Miss Mary, they'll be looking at me, giving me the evil eye, or, you know, the condemning finger, or, you know, I feel hard-pressed, or whether it's the aunt or, you know, someone in the thing. Trust me, a lot of, you know, a lot of, one of the things we talk about is that, you know, these young women, they've already made the hard choice, and that hard choice was keeping that child, regardless of the circumstances around it. So, you know, working with her to herald her and getting to a point of trust so that then you can correct her gently, like the word talks about, and that you can guide her and help her. So that's the only thing that I would ask. And with younger women listening, I would just say, you know, what I encourage them with is you may not like everything that an older woman has to say, but there may be something about her that you admire, and to go after that. You know, if you see the way that she is with her children, or you see the way her marriage is, or you see the way she carries herself that you like, or you see the way that she goes about her business, or the type of career that she may have, those are the kind of things that I encourage them to look for, because I know that's what helped me. It helped me to see positive marriages between black people, you know, and black couples. And it helped me to see younger, you know, older black women being successful, even though they've come through so much. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Very good. And I wanted to piggyback on that judgmental. I have been a mentor for at least 7, 8 years now to a mentee I've had. She has had 4 children, but I originally met her when she was in the system at TYC because I was a mentor for them. And we've kept in contact for the last several years, and she has turned out to be a very, very nice and studious young woman. What happened was she had issues about her mom, who was a drug addict, and I believe she still is. But through the years, I've never been judgmental to her. I've never talked down to her. I've always encouraged her and tried to lift her up. And when that was some of the things that I was taught as a mentor when I took my mentoring classes, that don't talk at them. Don't talk down to them. Talk to them. Be their friend. Let them know that you understand what they're going through. You may have not been there, but you can give her some examples. You can mimic the roles of some of the things that she's going through, or you can advise her, but you never be judgmental. And the major thing is that you teach them that you love them and they can be loved, and somebody else, if their mom or whoever they're looking for in the love triangle is not available for them, you can love them, and you can teach them that God loves them also, and that he has a purpose and a plan for their life. And from that day to this day, we have never had an argument. We've never disagreed about anything. She listened to me, although the times that she got pregnant, she would disappear on me and say, and I knew that what was going on, but she would always call me back. She would always tell me, I got a surprise for you. I said, okay, what is your surprise? Which I knew what it was, but I never did criticize her. I never did put her down. I never did reject her. So these are the things that our young women are looking for today. They're looking for us to love them. They're looking for us not to reject them. They're looking for us not to be judgmental. And, you know, sometimes we need to just be there for them to listen to, We listen to them and don't have anything to say unless it's on a positive note or uplift them, you know, express so that we know what you're going through. But just listen, because they, like Yvonne said, they will shy away from us if we're judgmental. They will shy away from us if they think that we don't have any positivism to give them, because they're looking for something that they need out of us. And that would be my take on giving them something. Just don't be judgmental. Carol, I know you've been a mentor also. Can you express some of the thoughts that you have toward mentoring?
Yeah, I just want to say, and all you ladies are exactly right, with young ladies,
they almost anticipate that as we as older women won't have anything nice or positive to say. And I always try to be positive. I don't care what it is. I get on people's nerves being positive. So my whole thing with and I've had to, you know, a lot of my me being a like I said, I was a victim's rape advocate. I was meeting young women in a bad situation, and I'll say the majority of my rape calls and which would involve me going straight to the hospital after that event had happened in their lives. The majority of them were young women because, you know, young women, when they're young, they get out more and they're out there and they're socializing more and they're very trusting and whatnot. And the number one thing we as advocates have to say to these young women is to remind them that it's not their fault because, you know, that male who took advantage of them, that he had his own agenda. And it had nothing, but you will find that I had to counsel with the girls in the hospital room, but I also had to go out there and catch their parents coming in, because the first thing people want to run up to and say, well, what were you doing? Well, you know, why were you there and why were you dressed like that? As to say that the young woman had invited what had happened to her. And it does not matter. Nobody has the right to take liberty over your body. I don't care if you don't have a thread on. It's not their right to take liberty over your body. And so, it's always I couldn't wait to get there to encourage those young women and to say something positive and try to speak something positive into their spirit so that when they left there, even though that event's going to change their lives to a certain degree, I wanted them to understand that, you know, I prayed with a lot of them, and I didn't, you know, oftentimes I had to find out if they had, you know, a relationship with God, but and a lot of them did. But, I mean, I wanted to encourage them that, you know, this is something that has happened in life, but it's not the end, and it wasn't your fault, and we have to, and the part of that is empowering those women, because in rape situations, they've had their power taken away from them. So it's all about empowering that woman, and I think that's the key thing that I try to do when I run into young women is to find something or say something to empower them. And I ran into a young woman at work one day. She's just a young woman on fire. You know what, you sound like a young woman who's going places. I said, are you in school? She said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, I could tell. I said, you keep doing what you do. You stay steadfast on your track, and you are going to make great things happen. And she said, ma'am, she said, you just made my day. And that blessed her, but that blessed me too. But I just want to say that's it. Anytime we see women, if we can just lend a word that will empower a young woman, it'll go further than you can even imagine. She'll take that with her for years. I know some of my teachers said some things to me when I was a young lady, and I've had it all my life.
Amen.